This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni, and today we're putting the spotlight on Gabriella Snyder-Stelmach. She's the executive director of Bread of Life. It's a nonprofit, non-denominational, faith-based organization that serves the communities north of Boston with a mission to feed the body and nurture the soul. They feed the hungry, the homeless, the needy, and the isolated, all while offering spiritual support and hospitality. She's also a composer and a singer. Good morning, Gabriella, and welcome to Exceptional Women.
Good morning, Kendra. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. And so for those of us that are unfamiliar, or for maybe some of our listeners who are unfamiliar with Bread of Life, talk to us about it. It's been around for over 40 years. What does the organization do, and who is it that you are helping?
Yes, this is our 40th anniversary. So we are a free food program, the largest program in the North Metro Boston area, traditionally serving 10 communities, Malden and surrounding communities, and branched out to even more during the COVID crisis. We provide 1 million meals per year. We're one of the largest member agencies of the Greater Boston Food Bank, that I'm sure many of your listeners may be familiar with. Mm-hmm. We get tons and tons of food every week that we pick up from them. And we distribute it through a number of ways. We have food pantries in Malden and Everett that serve, at this point, about 13 communities. We have grocery delivery to senior citizens, COVID isolating households. We just started that in March because of the COVID. Mm-hmm. We have evening congregate meals that we've had for years. That was actually the first. That was actually the beginning of Bread of Life in 1980, was as a church potluck supper. And that eventually became a meal for anyone after a couple of homeless men walked in and wanted something to eat. And the church started a meal for all, and eventually a bunch of other churches, synagogues, and community groups, and schools, and Rotary clubs got involved. To this point, we have about 45 partner organizations and do a nightly meal. At this point, it is grab and go, which is sad because a lot of times the meal is a wonderful place to connect, to have
the social part,
companion, right? Companion, exactly, which is so important and critical, especially as we age. We also have always had, for many years, food delivery to homeless families that are sheltered in motels. So when there's not enough room in shelters, the state places families into motels. And for years, we have done delivery to those families. We also have a new backpack nutrition project that we started at the end of last year for students in the Everett school system. And we've still been distributing throughout COVID, you know, in conjunction with the school lunch distribution outside. And we will continue distributing now that some kids are going back into the schools. So that's foods that a kid can eat right there in a discreet backpack that no one can see into. That's cereal and milk and crackers and peanut butter and fruit.
That's great.
A cup of soup. Mm-hmm.
So you said the Bread of Life distributes the equivalent of 1 million free meals a year?
Yeah, and that was in the past years.
Wow.
This year, our programs, the food pantry is about, we serve up to double the number of families that we used to serve.
Wow. And how do you manage all of that? I mean, I imagine volunteers are probably a huge part of the organization's success, right?
Exactly. Volunteers truly are our lifeblood. We have a million meals and about a million, 1.5 million pounds of food, and it's going to be much more for 2020. Three full-time staff, 13 part-time, and about 500 volunteers at any given time. And, wow. And they are the real inspiration. I mean, they always have been, because there's people working, raising kids, mm-hmm. and they come after work to work at the evening meal, or they come on their time off to help at the pantry. And even more so during the COVID, many people just couldn't volunteer. They had pre-existing health conditions.
Right.
They really had to stay away. But we had so many people step forward, including people who were unemployed, furloughed, and mm-hmm. said, well, I have this time. I'm going to come and help. And that really has carried us through these past several months. And we still are always looking for volunteers.
What led you to this work? Because, you've been doing this for a while now. And what drew you into an organization like Bread of Life?
Yeah, well, my mom told me once that I always wanted to do two things, sing and save the world. So, when I was little, I did come, as you mentioned. I came to Boston to sing. I had actually been hoping to make a career in the opera world, believe it or not. Seems like a long time ago. And I was supporting myself in science. I actually worked at Woods Hole Oceanographic, and then I got a job at Harvard University. I was a research technician. But I just began to feel like it wasn't the right fit. I loved science, and I was trying to support myself while I sang and studied. Mm-hmm. And I really began praying and getting spiritual direction, saying, where does God want me? Somehow there's a higher purpose for me. And I had heard about this church, St. Paul's in Malden, that they had this program for the homeless when I was living down on the Cape. And before I moved to Boston, I said, I'm going to check that out. And I ended up joining the church, moving to Malden. And lo and behold, a local community action program wrote a grant for a homeless advocate. I had done a little bit of volunteering at the Pine Street Inn, a little bit of sub work with a friend of mine who actually is a pianist and was an accompanist that I worked with. And wow. On the basis of that, they hired me, and the first director of Bread of Life, Tom Fagley, he hired me, and that was the beginning. I started as a homeless advocate in '88, and I still feel to this day that was the biggest intervention of God in my life and the calling to work with Bread of Life. And so far, that has persisted. I have felt that, yes, there's still a role. I've continued to grow with the organization and take on. Obviously, now I'm the executive director. I've done I've done pretty much everything in the organization from reception to food pantry to fixing toilets to washing floors.
Yep.
To washing dishes.
That's
right. I don't necessarily want to do all those anymore. But
it's a good trait to
learn,
though.
All. It's a great way to learn, yes. And then you really know what people are going through when you ask them to do something.
Absolutely. Well, under your leadership, the Bread of Life Under One Roof campaign was created. Talk to us about that campaign and what the mission is.
Yeah, one of the things that's happened, just as you might imagine from Bread of Life's evolution out of a church potluck supper, we kept growing. We started with a potluck, then suddenly there was a pantry, and mm-hmm. there was an art program and a youth program, and then there was we do diapers and we have baby food. So we kept growing. And so eventually we rented a storefront in Malden on Main Street, 511, and then another storefront and then another storefront, always just bursting at the seams. And we never had a dinner site of our own. We never had a kitchen in the dining hall. And through the years, we've lost our dining site many times due to a building being sold. We were at a church. The church was sold. We were at the American Legion. The American Legion was sold to make a housing. We were at the Salvation Army, and they had a flood. We've just been so, we've sometimes had to serve out of the van and serve out of a parking lot and a driveway. So it's been very hard. So several years ago, at least, actually, probably 15, we first started looking at sites. Where could we buy and build? And finally, we purchased 54 Eastern Ave, an old commercial building in Malden, tucked away and yet very accessible to public transportation, right on the new bike path. And so we started serving our pantry, and we have our warehouse out of here. And the dream is to demolish this and to build a facility that will bring everything under one roof. So we have our pantry superette, you know, our store where you can go and shop, so to speak, for food, all free, of course. Choose what your family needs for groceries. Our dining hall, which would be also multi-purpose for classes. For example, we teach English, Mandarin, mm-hmm. Nutrition, financial literacy, anything like that. There were flu shots that we're offering later this month, anything like that. And, you know, then all of our warehouse storage offices. And we're also partnering with another nonprofit, which on the third floor will build and own 14 units of affordable studio apartments for formerly homeless and veterans, which wow. is a population we've always served from the very beginning.
Wow, you're a busy lady.
Yes, so we're very excited. Our portion of the project, Bread of Life's portion, is $4.3 million, and we are $600,000 away.
So what can people do for directly for that, for the Under One Roof campaign? Is there a specific website people can maybe donate?
Absolutely. If you could donate, this is absolute time. Our goal is to begin construction winter or spring of this. So within, you know,
so we got to get
months,
it going, yeah.
We have to close this gap. The housing site is completely funded by government funds, Federal Home Loan Bank, home consortium or government funds. Bread of Life has had substantial investment from major foundations like the Baird Foundations, but also from the City of Malden, CDBG, Community Preservation. So we've raised most of the money that we need. But if people can give, this is absolutely the time to do it. Go to our website, breadoflifemalden.org. And right on the homepage, you'll Under One Roof.
We'll put a link as well, and we'll mention it a few times throughout the interview, but it's breadoflifemalden.org, and we'll put a link directly on our site as well on magic1067.com.
Oh,
so it'll take people right there, one click away. You mentioned it briefly before, but can you talk a little bit about some of the programs that you offer to those in need? I know we went through them quickly, but I just wanted to hear them again, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Probably our largest program is our Malden-based pantry, which used to serve 10 cities, Malden, Everett, Medford, Melrose being the main ones, but surrounding Saugus, Sonoma, Wakefield, Winchester, Reading. Now, with the COVID, we no longer have been requiring application to sign-in in order to minimize contact. So we're serving even a broader geographic area. But people could come in for a full order of groceries. So, you know, about half of what we give is fresh produce. And we also have meat and fish, we have dairy, we have bakery, and we have non-perishables. Bread of Life, you know, again, being based in Malden, maybe 60% of the people served by the pantry are from Malden. And Malden is one of the most diverse cities in Massachusetts, along with Everett, the other major city that we serve. So we see a lot of people from different cultures of origin. Many people who are Asian, Chinese, Southeast Asian, North Africans, Middle Easterners, people from the Caribbean, South America. So we have interpreters and translators in Mandarin, Cantonese, Portuguese, Spanish, Arabic, Haitian Creole. And we try to give food that people can use. And a lot of what is the basic, as you might say, the proteins, the dairy, the produce, those are the most valuable just across the board that you can cook in your own tradition.
Well, if you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. And we've been talking with Gabriella Snyder-Stelmach. She's the executive director of Bread of Life. It's a nonprofit organization that's been around for over 40 years, serving the communities north of Boston with a mission to feed the hungry, the homeless, the needy, and the isolated, all while offering spiritual support and hospitality. Let's get back to our conversation. Gabriella, I wanted to ask you about homelessness and poverty in our country. How much of a problem is it? I mean, is there a lot that we're not aware of when it comes to knowing and understanding just how many people are suffering without the daily necessities?
I think there is a lot of information that is out there that's been gathered. Project Bread and the Greater Boston Food Bank, both great local organizations that have been partners of Bread of Life for years, do a lot of data collection. We've known that, you know, 1 in 11 kids in Massachusetts is what's called food insecure. In other words, you can't count on 3 regular meals every day. Your situation is that precarious and almost always directly related to income. So, you know, that's well known. We have we have an access gap around income and around other issues as well, including race and ethnicity. There are disparities in terms of people's access to food. And with housing, again, I think we all know in Massachusetts there's a housing shortage. Mm-hmm. Housing at every level of affordability. Which is why the housing we're building is so desperately needed for the very low income. But we know we can't keep workers and we can't attract workers if right. people can't find a housing that's affordable. So from the governor on down, I think we're all aware of the problem. And what happens at the lowest end is that people literally cannot afford a place to live, even if it's on the market. It's very, very high-priced housing market, one of the most expensive in the country. So that is a significant impact. There's also social factors, of course, that can relate to someone's homelessness as, you know, chronically homeless. But the larger problem of homelessness is one, affordability. I believe people are aware at the governmental level, and it has been an initiative of the governor to create more housing,
right?
But we never, the work isn't done.
Right.
And actually, when I first got involved with Bread of Life in 88, one of the first things we did was a big march in Washington called Housing Now,
wow.
1988. And then, you know, HUD programs proceeded to be slashed. So we have to make policy decisions if we want to help create housing that's affordable for all, because
sure.
we have hardworking people in this country who cannot afford basics
housing,
and yet they're
right.
working hours,
right.
but they're not having a wage that will afford everything that they need. It's not fair
right.
that the person taking care of your grandmother in the nursing home is not making enough to live on, you know.
And you know what?
Health aid.
I will say this too, Gabriella. I think we've noticed it more, and that goes into my next question regarding the pandemic. I mean, the people that you would almost think in your head as a stereotype of the people who are homeless are not the people you're thinking. I mean, it could be people you know. It could be friends. It could be somebody within your family that you don't realize is struggling with the daily necessities of, you know, finding a home, having a home, being able to pay bills or afford good food every day. I mean, it's people close to us. It's people in our community. It's not somebody who's magically far away in your brain. It is the people around us that need the help as well. And I think going into
yes.
my next question, you know, this pandemic, I mean, it sent everybody into such a whirlwind. And I imagine those who are struggling day to day, it's even more stressful and overwhelming. I mean, has it ultimately been worse for those in need? And, you know, talk to us a little more about Bread of Life's COVID response and what you guys have been doing.
Well, immediately we saw an increase in demand, and I've been charting the numbers at our pantry. You know, the meal program went from about 80 meals a night to 120 to 140, and those
wow.
numbers are still up.
Wow.
The food pantry had peaked, we thought, when it was about 190 families in a two-hour period in April. We thought, wow, okay, that must be the peak. No, it peaked again higher than that in August. So I look at it like a tidal wave, and we're still riding out as it recedes. It crashed. To your point earlier, I've just found out about someone that lives not too far from me. I live in Malden in the Eastern Edge, and they have a house, they have a car,
right?
And talking with them, it turns out, three of the adults in the household lost their jobs due to COVID, and they haven't paid the mortgage in 4 months.
That's
where
tough.
Does that put you?
Yep.
So you look at them and you say, hey.
Right, on paper
like
and on image-wise, right. Yeah.
They're not doing fine. And that's why we've seen this big increase, people who never came here before. A family of four just came to our evening meal program, pick up four meals, and they said, how much is it? We said, well, there's never a charge here, heavy meals. The little boy came back afterwards, 15 minutes later, with a couple of dollars, said, we want to give this. And the volunteer said, oh, no, keep that for your family. You need it. He said, no, my mother said, we have to give this to you. And that's what people are like. Nobody really wants to be on the receiving end. Very few people want to be always. We want to feel like we are managing and we're able to give, to contribute. And that's another way that Bread of Life helps to build community and bridge that gap, is that many people who volunteer with us started because they came to us needing food.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got stabilized, they stayed and volunteered. That's how we've got many, many volunteers. People
want
to give back.
That's incredible. Well, of course. I mean, it's a fabulous organization, and you're doing amazing work every day, all day, for the people that need it most. What is your hope for the future with Bread of Life? Is there a certain goal that you hope to have reached in the near future, aside from being able to have your own place, your own, under one roof building that you can provide for people? Is there another thing that you're hoping for the future?
That is number one. I think with that, I'll tell you, we've been to the wall. I so admire our staff and volunteers. It's just, I can't even express it. We're in this old building. We get a truck donated every week from Gentle Giant. They also donated the time of the driver. It's a bigger truck, so we could pick up more food. Instead of 8,000, we could pick up now up to 16,000 pounds of food. We can't get it down the driveway of our current facility. We have to park it on the other side of the bike path, volunteers unloading it by hand onto carts and pushing them 100 feet to the pantry entrance. So we, if anything, this COVID has made it abundantly clear that we have to have a new facility. And I'm sure when we have it, we're building it so that we can grow and grow our programs and actually be able to go beyond the grocery store and do some of those other trainings and cultural events and classes that people will be able to build on skills, develop networks, and be able to make other plans for their lives, to better their own lives. So that's what I'm hoping that this new Under One Roof will help us do for the community.
Well, we're going to try our best to help you as well. So it's breadoflifemalden.org. breadoflifemalden.org. We're going to put a link up on our website, right on magic1067.com. Please give what you can, donate, help. Every little bit helps. Just imagine those families. And see, now you told that story about that family of four, and I'm thinking of that little boy, and it breaks my heart, and it can break a lot of hearts, but do something about it. Help out if you can. Don't just think about them. Walk the walk. Donate what you can. And it's breadoflifemalden.org. Gabriella, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today. You're doing...
So appreciate it.
I mean, you are honestly... I always call people like you, you're the angels walking on earth. Like, you're an angel in human form, because you're doing what everybody should be doing. It was such a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I won't agree that I'm an angel, but I'll say that I'm on a pilgrimage, and with many others, many others, as I say, whose hearts are broken for what breaks God's heart, and they come to us and want to help. So yeah, we welcome you on whatever level to give or to volunteer. We welcome you. Thank you so much for letting people know.
Thank you to Gabriella Snyder-Stelmach for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We talk to celebrities and CEOs, but we also like talking with your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their community. Go to magic1067.com and email us if you know someone you'd like to suggest, and follow us on Instagram at sue.tab and at Kendra the Entertainer. We'd love hearing from you, and be sure to join us every Sunday morning for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.